Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, from HBO characters to college football, we've got two stops to make on the Daily Ticker. The first one is to South Bend, Indiana, where the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are heading on the road this weekend to play Georgia in Georgia. They're 2-0 on the year, Georgia 3-0, so it's going to be a big showdown, 5 o'clock this week. And joining us is a good friend of the show. We had him on to preview Notre Dame, and that's Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune. You can find him on Twitter at ehansennd, and he joins us now. Eric, thank you so much for the time again, man. We appreciate it out here in Portland. 2-0 Fighting Irish, what have you made from what you've seen on from them this season, and do you feel like they're right there with Georgia going into this game?
Well, I'll answer the second part first. No, I don't. what I've seen through the first couple weeks is a team that has a lot of nice pieces to it and that's unfinished in some very critical areas, particularly its linebackers, and you could say its interior defensive line. And I really think the offensive line that's going to be a strength of this team toward the end of the season still kind of looks like it's in the oven, so it needs to cook a little bit more. But I think by November, when this team starts playing easy teams, they're going to be really good. Georgia seems so much farther ahead in terms of being a complete package. And I think some of the reason is because Georgia has recruited at a level that's very similar to Alabama and Clemson. And so you have kind of ready to go plug and play kind of players, even at positions where you don't have experience. And I think that's a real big difference between these two teams. But, you know, Notre Dame surprised me a couple years ago when they played that game to 1 point. I don't expect it to be this close this time. I just think it's not a great matchup for Notre Dame in terms of strength and weaknesses.
Yeah, I think one of the things we were all curious about with Notre Dame this year is how much Ian Book could progress. I mean, taking over the job last year and maybe bringing a different dimension to the offense. What have you seen from him in the first two games of the season that maybe you like and would give you a little optimism going against Georgia?
Well, I really like his game. You know, he's fifth in the country right now in passing efficiency, and he's a pretty good runner, I'd say, a better than average runner. I think he's really smart at the line of scrimmage. He was a little skittish in their opener against Louisville, where it was one of those blind date kind of games with a new coaching staff opposing him. Much more settled against New Mexico and everything he did, and posted career highs, which everybody should do, I guess, against New Mexico. But I like where his game is evolving. Where I think there's some trepidation from Notre Dame fans is, in a weird, I mean, no other Notre Dame quarterback in recent years has been like this. He's faced one top 50 defense as a starter in his career, and that was Clemson. So he doesn't have a lot of experience going against a defense that's this good. That doesn't mean he won't handle it well. It's just, the only example you have of it is Clemson, and things didn't end well. So it's going to be very interesting to see if he can maintain the poise and the mental toughness against that good of a defense. I don't think this is about, you know, folding on the road in a tough atmosphere. I just think it's fast athletes that he's not used to seeing at every position.
Yeah. Eric Hansen is our guest. Notre Dame's heading on the road to Athens to take on Georgia. They played 2 years ago, and Notre Dame played them to a 1-point loss. It was a good game, and we'll see if Notre Dame's going to be able to keep that one close. You know, Eric, it sounds like you think this is going to end up being a Georgia blowout at some point, just based on what you were saying with the talent discrepancy and not being able to see Ian Book in big games against those top-level teams in college football. So I'll ask you a two-parter. One, is that what you think? And two, I'm looking at their schedule, and you don't want to overlook Virginia next week after this one. At Michigan's never easy. And then Navy comes in, and Navy always runs that system that creates problems for teams. overall, I think their schedule is pretty manageable, and they might be able to get through the season with two losses and maybe find themselves in a New Year's Six bowl. Is that kind of what you're expecting for them on the year?
Yeah, I do think that's still my expectation. That's kind of what I thought at the beginning of the year. I just wasn't sure how quick their run defense and their run offense would come along, and it's just not to a place where it's going to match up well with what Georgia does. So I don't expect that to be a game that's in single digits. I'm not sure that it's going to be something like the Alabama and the Clemson games on the big stage, but I don't think it's going to be a game where Notre Dame has a chance to win it in the fourth quarter. But I do think this team has some upside, that they have the ability to improve. And even if their schedule hadn't kind of cratered here, where Stanford doesn't look as good now, mm-hmm. Boston College looks lousy, I think they would be able to be pretty good against those teams if they were as good as predicted. But now when you look at them, that November schedule looks pretty soft. You know, Michigan looks like it should be a really good game. I think Virginia might be the trickiest game left, just because you'll have either a great Georgia hangover of winning that game the hangover of losing it, and then having to come play a Virginia team that doesn't get your attention from the branding, but I think their defense and their quarterback is really good.
Yeah. Eric Hansen, South Bend Tribune, a preview on Notre Dame, Georgia this week. And Eric, thank you so much for making time for us out here in Portland. Enjoy that trip, my man.
Andy and Brandon, thanks for having me on. Good talking to you guys.
Absolutely. All right, we look forward to our meetup with Eric Hansen next time. And joining us now to talk about the Miami Dolphins, their GM came out and basically admitted that they are tanking, is Clay Ferraro of ABC Channel 10 in Miami. And he joins us now. He's on Twitter, @ClayWPLG. Give him a follow for all things Miami and Dolphins. Clay, thanks for making time for us up here in Portland. Those comments, I can't imagine. That locker room already sounded like they all won out. I can't imagine those comments sit well with players.
Well, I think it's basically affirming everything that we've already known. So, you know, I can say this, having been in that locker room after that week one loss to Baltimore, it felt like a morgue. this is my sixth year here, and that was as quiet, that was as sullen, as downtrodden a locker room as I've been in, because I think they all know now. You know, you can sit there and if you're Brian Flores, tell your guys all through training camp, all through minicamp, we are going to compete. We are not tanking. And then all of a sudden, a few days before the first game, you trade Laremy Tunsil, and it makes it pretty clear to everybody, yeah, you are tanking. But then mm-hmm. once you get out there on the field and you see it happen and you feel it and you realize just how overmatched you are, it's tough, and I think it hit everybody like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, I think there's always, too, the differing opinion between what's going on in the locker room, and I can't imagine how tough that is for some of the guys to say, like, wait, this is going to be bad for a couple of years, and then the fan reaction to it. I'm curious how they're feeling down there, because some fan bases react differently to tanking, and we've seen it work in other sports. Are they okay with this long-term strategy?
It depends on who you talk to, and this is where I think in the social media world we live in, we kind of get duped into thinking that what we see on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook is representative of all the fans. And so, you know, we were out there at that first game, and you have a large number of fans who saw this coming and who are sick and tired of mediocrity, and I don't blame them. And you know, full disclosure, I think tanking is best for the long-term good of this franchise, just because they've treated the salary cap like a credit card for years and, you know, restructuring deals like Ryan Tannehill and Rashad Jones and Ndamukong Suh, two of whom aren't here anymore and one of whom will be gone by next year. And, you know, that eventually catches up to you. It's just mismanagement. So they needed to hit the reset button. With all that said, yeah, you have a lot of fans that understand that. But then, you know, I was talking to a gentleman who lived 2 hours away in Amok. He doesn't get to consume local media. He doesn't get to hear these guys on a daily basis. And he said, look, I drove over 2 hours, and I'm going to continue to drive 2 hours every single game for this? Like, to see these guys get absolutely hammered? Why am I going to do that? So, you know, I think there's this misconception that what you see on social media is representative of everyone, and it's not. So I think a few people are happy with it. But I think you also have a number of people who were blindsided.
Yeah. Clay, I've seen a few people that have laid big money on bets for the Dolphins to go 0-16. And if they win, it's like, I'm talking $100,000 payout. If you had to put money down, if you had disposable income to lay $3,000, would you lay it on them going 0-16?
I'd probably lean towards that. You know, if I had to take one or the other, I think it's more likely they go 0-16 than not. And here's the reason, guys. Like, I understand that you've had the Cleveland Browns that went 1-31 a couple of years ago. You had the 0-16 Lions, was it 2007, whatever it was. You know, yeah, we had a 1-15 team down here before. Those teams were at least competitive in games. And that Cleveland Browns team that went 1-31 over a 2-year stretch, sometimes you were like, man, how did they lose that game? Oh, it's just Cleveland. But this team, they're so bad on both lines. And to me, that's something that is going to be really, really hard to overcome. Now, with that said, it's not impossible that you go up against a team that turns it over, makes some mistakes, and all of a sudden you get that momentum going. That happens. But I think with this team, they're so far from being a competitive club, and now you just dealt away another really, really good player in Minkah Fitzpatrick. I lean towards that. I definitely lean towards 0-16.
Yeah. Yeah, we as a show were kind of pulling for Josh Rosen. Felt like he got the run of the deal in Arizona, giving up on him after 1 year with a terrible offensive line. They fired the head coach, but he apparently was the problem to some people. So we want him to have a good season and a good career. I'm just curious, two parts. One, how much and when we're eventually going to see him take the bulk of the snaps there, because I don't understand the strategy of playing Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then two, is there any way that you can get an accurate picture of how Josh Rosen is as a quarterback, considering the lack of talent around him?
Answer to number one is we don't know. We thought that there was a decent chance of this week, but that doesn't appear to be happening. And honestly, the only defensible reason for not starting him at this point is because you are terrified that he's going to get hurt, because that line is so bad. And you know, I understand people probably just see the scores up there. They probably don't sit and watch every single play. Mm-hmm. Guys, it's bad. And I've been at both games, and they looked overmatched up front. So if you have any hope of Rosen taking over, then I guess you're just thinking you don't want to get him killed out there. Now, with that said, I don't think he's going to get a fair shot here. And I think it's because, you know, we haven't been told this directly, but it's pretty clear that Stephen Ross, the owner, loves Tua Tagovailoa. Mm-hmm. That's been the feeling, I think, from up top, not just with him, but also we were on the field for the Orange Bowl last year at the college football playoff, Oklahoma against Alabama. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins had a game the next day up in Buffalo, but their head of operations, Tom Garfinkel, and the GM, Chris Greer, were both on the field watching Tua. And Chris Greer was in the press box last weekend when Tua threw for, what, 7,500 yards and 27 touchdowns in one game. So, right. You know, it's clear, guys. I feel like they brought in Rosen just in case he blew them away, and he didn't. I'm with you, though. I want to see him get a fair shot. I think he could be really, really good somewhere else. He needs some work reading defenses, but he's not going to get that shot here. And you know, whether he ends up being the backup here or somebody else trades for him, he's not going to be the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, at least not on a full-time basis anytime.
Yeah, Clay Ferraro down there in Miami, ABC affiliate, Channel 10 is our guest. Miami's GM comes out and basically admits they are tanking. Clay is on Twitter, at Clay WPLG. Give him a follow. Clay, great insights, great info, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Anytime, fellas. Take care.
Absolutely. There we go. Good stuff from Eric Hansen and Clay Ferraro. And I want to talk about that and bring those comments from the Miami GM back.
Not good for a locker room to acknowledge from the top down that you don't care about winning.
You also don't hear it very often in the NFL.
You don't.
With the bad teams. And their GM came out and admitted this. We'll talk about that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.